The following program contains the ramblings of those driven mad by their own geekitude. Listener discretion is advised.
Loading Geek 1. Loading Geek 2. Synchronizing Geeks.
Version 2.0, the show that still takes three topics and throws them at two geeks. I'm Lias D, the pseudo Kiwi, coming to you again from wintry 3x2 Studios East.
And I'm the illustrious Patrick M, coming to you from 3x2 Studios Ohio, which is a lovely and balmy 30 degrees, so it sucks to be you. Yeah, Ohio winters suck more than you know. But at least on the plus side, we're not down in Georgia.
That's true, because that was a... Never mind. But I'll have you know, I have you beat by a whole 2 degrees now. It is a balmy 28 degrees.
Woohoo! I am toasty warm. I am toasty warm. That's good news.
Well,
speaking of news, let's do the news.
All right. It's news time, folks. That's right. We're back at it again. This week, we're going to talk to you about something that's kind of... some of it's
Is it the Bat universe with Bat news about the Batman Bat Superman movie?
Bad if I know.
That's terrible.
Let's talk about some news that came out this week about some developments with the new Superman Batman movie. Yes, it appears that
we know they've added Wonder Woman into the cast. We know that's happened, but Jesse Eisenberg is going to be Lex Luthor.
Yeah, Jesse Eisenberg. Okay, remember, if you guys remember anything, okay, this guy was in Zombieland and Social Network, and both times he played, sort of twitchy little nerds.
Oh, so I don't... shit, it's Lex Luthor! Come on! Affleck was enough!
Yeah, it was bad enough that they sprung Affleck on us as Batman, but... Eisenberg as Luthor. Now, okay, it is sort of balanced out a little bit, not much, because they've brought in a new Alfred, because obviously since we have a new Batman, we have to have a new Alfred. So, as you mentioned, we have Jeremy Irons, very distinguished, very accomplished actor, and, I mean, seriously, he's got a voice that's smooth and silky. It's enough to let him make him screw my wife.
Awesome. And this was on the heels. I found this while we were looking because you'd heard the rumor that they were looking at trying to drop Affleck from the Batman role. Which looks like so far it's a rumor, not confirmed. I don't know. Okay. I'm kind of in the meh. It may work for him. It may not work. I don't know. We don't know. It could be, let's see here, could be the worst of the worst, which would be a combination of Daredevil and Clooney Batman. Or
so,
it could be awesome.
It could be. So you're talking about like what Daredevil with nipples?
Throat cancer Batman, certainly. And that's the news. Also, something else in the news this week was the 20th anniversary last week of the TV series Babylon 5. So in honor of that, because it's going to be number one on the list we're going to mention in just a second, is we're going to each pick three series that if you were interested in sci-fi or superheroes or sci-fi horror or any of those kinds, these are series you probably should give them another look. Go find them, watch them wherever you can, and enjoy. So let me start with my first one, which is Babylon 5.
That was the number one on your list, wasn't it?
That was the first one I came up with. And these aren't any particular. This is my favorite series in the world order necessarily. But this ran from 1994 to 1998. big things about Babylon 5 is it had a nice, humongous 5-year story arc, although they cut the primary arc down to 4 years because they thought they wouldn't get a fifth season. Then it got a fifth season and had to rewrite it. But rather than having the episodic formula of every TV show that came before it, stuff that happened in the first season paid off in the third season, the fourth season. Stuff that happened to a character in the middle of the second season showed up in the fifth season. All kinds of things. It was an early groundbreaker with CGI, although season one CGI is kind of rough. It's definitely something, if you are hardcore sci-fi, this is one you should probably get and watch all the way through. I checked in recently. It wasn't on Netflix anymore, which is kind of depressing, but it's out there some. It's out there in places. I'm sure you can find it. Now, you said you hadn't really watched this one.
I watched Babylon 5 probably. I have seen the entire first. I did get started on the second season, and it wasn't something that really, after the first season, really stuck with me a lot. But you mentioned the CG. Now, I will say the CG for its time was groundbreaking. It was absolutely fantastic. Another series that is on my list, which came out around the same time and used very similar style CG methods, was Sliders. So, you know,
we'll talk about that one in a second. A couple other things I want to get on Babylon 5. It's hard to watch in the beginning. The first season, obviously you watch that. That's the hardest season to watch because there's a lot of stuff that's set up. The CGI is kind of rough and doesn't hold up. Although as you get into later seasons, it gets a lot better. I would know because I just finished watching through the fourth season, and the big battles at the end of that are crazy. If you want to watch this one, you have to commit to a season and a half of watching before it's really going to start to grow. So, you missed by half a season.
I'm not surprised. The big thing is the real story, the real point we want to make with this episode is these are series that we really think you should go back and watch, okay? And I will be. I will go through and get the Babylon 5 series. I may have to borrow it or find
creatively
it.
Acquire.
Sure. Is that like Creative Commons? Not really, but kind of.
Not even close.
So I will go back and watch it. But yeah, definitely, I have enjoyed the overall story of what Babylon 5 is. But again, you know, this is something, if you haven't seen it, definitely go watch it. If you have seen it, why not give it another view?
So that brings us to one of your choices, which is Sliders.
Right. Now, Sliders came out in
1995 to 2000 was its run.
Right. Now, the big thing for me is it has, two of the leads from the series, Jerry O'Connell and Jonathan Rhys-Davies.
Who's the awesomest of awesome.
Of course. I mean, let's not forget, he goes on to play Gimli in the Lord of the Rings trilogy. So that was
pretty
awesome.
He got shorter for some reason, but oh well.
Well, I mean, it was dwarfism. So, I really like the series because it was kind of like ultimate what if kind of series. And with that what if series, the what if concept, you had some really great stories told because you effectively had a sci-fi series without it having to be in the future or on another planet. You could basically set everything in the the modern day and just spin the tales however you want. It was great, you know. It did get kind of, as O'Connell and Rhys-Davies and Sabrina Lloyd, came out of the series towards the end and they replaced them with some other people, it kind of really lost its magic. It lost its appeal. I kind of didn't like it towards the end. You know, the last season to me was a complete write-off. But, it overall, good series. If you haven't seen it, go see it. If you have seen it again, it's on Netflix. Check it out again. It's pretty cool.
I mean, how big of a write-off? Are we talking like Star Trek Enterprise Season 3 write-off?
Close. I actually dare say that probably there may be a couple of small shining gems in Enterprise Season 3. In the last season of Sliders, to me, not so much. Yeah.
But this is one where you could pretty much pick it up and just go, because every episode was, oh, they're stuck in this world, and this is what happens in this world. Pretty much every episode.
That's it, yeah. I mean, there were some arcs, there were some story arcs, not a ton of them, but enough to keep you excited and coming back. You know, they had a couple of story arcs, like bigger ones with the, you know, the Cro-Mags and such like that. I won't go too far into the details. Again, just a really good series, and it's definitely worth a watch. If you've already seen it, see it again.
That brings us to our second choices on this. Now, you stayed mostly sci-fi, but I kind of ran through series that over the time I had to watch. This was probably going to be the most well-known among general audiences that I'm going to pick. The second one I'm going for is Buffy the Vampire Slayer, 97 to 2003.
Yeah, I knew you were going to come out with Buffy because you go on like a schoolboy bitch about Buffy. But I cannot hold it against you because, I mean, hello, Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Boing.
Yeah. Swing. I mean, yeah. If she was a president, she'd be Abraham Lincoln.
You're digging into the old Wayne's World jokes. Wonderful.
Yeah, we did. We had to. All right, carry on.
Yeah, besides awesome babitude, and personally, I'm a more of a... she's not my favorite character to look at, but that's just because I'm kind of more that alternative type.
No, yeah, you're kind of like me. You're after Willow. I mean, Willow, yeah. She was, oh yeah. She was the nerdy redhead in the series. I'm sorry. She makes me want to sit up and beg for it.
That's good. Like Allison Hannigan is awesomely awesome in all kinds and ways.
Of course.
When she went to the lesbian and Amber Benson came on, and Amber Benson's possibly even cooler than that, but oh well. Long story short, if you missed it, the general story is one slayer in all the world with the skill and powers to kill vampires and all other kinds of monsters and fun shit like that. And basically it goes through a story arc of a person developing under these kinds of conditions, from boppy teenager a la the old Christy Swanson movie, which is kind of rough to watch but kind of nostalgic, to where she basically becomes a warrior general type. And they even continued the story after this in comics. And from what I can tell, it got really weird after that. But
yeah, I mean, hang on a second.
She only died twice.
Yeah, go back to the Christy Swanson one. I mean, just for a second. Just for one second. Come on. It has Pee Wee Herman as a vampire. You can't argue with that.
Yeah, I'm trying to come up with a good joke involving his arm coming off and things like that.
Yeah, no. That's a joke in itself, and anybody who knows Paul Rubens will appreciate the joke. Now, also, I mean, look, remember, there was a really good spinoff series from Buffy, which was Angel. Not as good as Buffy, but definitely still a good one. I watched that one
If you get grinding into the Buffyverse, you'll probably have to go through Angel because there's some crossover. Even though Angel turns to the bad guy once. And note, we may throw a few spoilers in here, people, but come on. Pretty much everything we're talking about was pretty much wrapped in over a decade ago. So, there you go. The great thing about this is one of the great effort by Joss Whedon, who, of course, eventually went on to direct one of the greatest superhero movie we can think of, which is The Avengers. Of course,
Stop.
Talk more about Buffy?
No, I don't want to talk more about Buffy, but you mentioned Joss Whedon directing the greatest superhero movie ever. Okay, I'm sorry, all right? I have to disagree wholly. I think that the greatest superhero movie ever was Kiss Meets the Phantom, okay?
Here I was going to say we're going to have to suggest Batman and Robin, but oh well.
or how about Ang Lee's Hulk?
That's still better than Batman and Robin. I know because I found a few things on – I was watching some things online, including Everything Wrong With video.
Oh, my
Batman
goodness.
And Robin, and oh, Christ, they shred the thing.
I'm not surprised.
They did it with the Avengers, and they kind of poke fun at the movie, but there's no poking fun at this movie. when your director actually apologizes for the film, you know it's pretty bad. Joss, on the other hand, beautiful,
brilliant,
work, Buffy.
Brilliant. Yeah, Buffy, brilliant series, and obviously anything that Joss Whedon touches these days seems to turn to gold. He's like Tom Hanks, you know. Nothing he does is bad.
Of course, out of Buffy and Angel, his next effort didn't do as well, but it's the second one on your list.
Which is?
Firefly.
That's right. Firefly. Now, again, I didn't see Firefly.
2003.
Okay. Yeah, one season. It's a brilliant series. Okay, I didn't see it initially. I didn't watch it until after I'd seen Serenity. You know, some friends took me to the theater, went to the movies one day, saw Serenity. Fantastic movie. Just loved it. I was like, this is great. And it's like one of those things you hear, like you listen to an album from an artist that came out now, and it's like, wow, I want to hear what else they've done. So you go back and you start with their back catalog. Same thing. Saw the movie, went back and watched the series. Series was great. Of course, it was TV. It was low budget. What do you expect? I mean, but the great thing is fantastic storytelling. I mean, seriously, it's Joss Whedon. I mean, what do you expect? This guy knows how to tell a story.
Yeah, I mean, to go back to Buffy for a second, season one of Buffy was pretty rough, but from there it got better and better and better.
Again,
if Firefly had lasted more than a whole season rather than half a season, it'd have probably turned out great, but it got killed quickly.
Okay, now with that thought, okay, remember the network that Firefly was on, Fox, and the same season that they canceled Firefly. Now don't quote me on this because I haven't fact checked, but I believe that the same season that Firefly was canceled, they also canceled another brilliant show, Family Guy.
Yeah, but then they bring Family Guy back.
That's right, and it's been enormously successful. So, you know, there has been some talk about bringing Firefly back to the smaller screen, although, you know, I think Joss Whedon definitely has his hands full these days.
Yeah, another Avengers movie. Yay! Yeah.
Yeah. As long as we need to see more Shawarma and Hulk smashing Loki, I'm fine with that.
Well, Loki. Well, with the arc that Loki was on, he's probably now he's sort of somewhat a good guy-ish thing, isn't he? Mm-hmm. I haven't seen the second Thor movie, but that's kind of what I kind of heard. So
yeah. Let's not talk about that. Let's not give away any spoilers about Loki. Okay, so
but he's in there, so it's going to be fun.
Yeah,
however it really ends.
So again. Yeah, great sci-fi series. Low budget, kind of reminds me of the low budgetness of the first Battlestar Galactica. Not as campy or hokey, but definitely kind of that. There was that real camaraderie and interaction between all the characters. It wasn't just people playing roles. It was a real sense of these people were, you know, lifelong buddies, would do anything for you, and again,
the characters are growing together, and it's really awesome to watch the character interactions. Screw everything else that's happening. It's the character interactions is what you want, which is what we had with Buffy and what we got in the Avengers, and it was just all warm and fuzzy and touchy and happy and gooey and creamy, and I'm getting wrong.
Please. We are going down the wrong path.
Woohoo!
We have been to class for this, okay? Remember, I'm your accountability buddy.
We're boned. Okay, let's get back to our third on the list. And actually, I'm going to let you go first because you mentioned Battlestar Galactica, which was back there in the 70s, which is old and cheesy and things. And that's definitely not on your list because...
No. Battlestar, the thing is, okay, let's talk about Battlestar Galactica for just a second, okay, before I give you my last pick. Battlestar Galactica, the first one, I mean, for what it was, you know, back in the late 70s, it was fantastic. I mean, it had all of the action TV stuff that you wanted. I mean, come on, you had Dirk Benedict, who went on to be Face in the A-Team. You had Richard Hatch. You had Lorne Greene.
And Hatch went on to be to show up in the reboot Battlestar Galactica and got blown into space.
Yeah, and that was a consolation for them not doing his version of the remake years before. So,
but it was awesome to see him back, and obviously the reboot took the old show and made it look like crap.
Of course,
they might get remade. on right. third on your list.
Okay, third on my list, Space 1999. Now, most people are like, huh? What yep. is that? Okay,
I had seriously. To get up.
Okay, Space 1999. It was a British sci-fi series from the 70s. Okay,
specifically 1975 to 1977.
Okay, ran two seasons. All right, first season was more story based. It was more, you know, more like you know, basically that what happened. Long story short, all of the Earth's nuclear waste is stored on the moon. You know, in preparation for proper disposal. Something happens, major blast. It blows the Earth out of its orbit. It going off into deep space. You know, and the inhabitants of Moonbase Alpha are stuck, and you basically go through all these different adventures. Starred Martin Landau, and everybody's like, "Huh? Seriously? Okay, trust me. Don't worry about who he is. To me, I remember him because I'm that old. But again, it wasn't a fantastic series. It was just really good and solid for the 2 years that it was on TV.
Actually, the only thing I remember Martin Landau in is from earlier, along with Barbara Bain, who's also in this show, from Mission Impossible, which I watched for a little while.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah. So it's doubly cool because I was going through some of the early episodes, and I found one with George Takei in there. And that was awesomer than awesome.
That was pretty cool, yeah. So.
And he made a pretty good straight man. Yeah, bad joke, I know.
Bad joke. We're sorry, George. We're not. We're sorry. So we have this. Yeah, we have this series again. I'm not going to go on too much about it because it isn't the most fantastic of series, but it's good. It's good and solid. The second season was actually started because of the popularity of the first season. They picked up distribution in Canada and the United States, so they started to focus stories more on the American audience or North American audience. And did more action-based sequences. Because, again, around that time, I mean, you got to think, 1977, we had Star Wars, okay? 78, 79, something, we had Battlestar Galactica. We also had the Disney sci-fi movie, The Black Hole, around then, too. I mean...
And they were going off that show from a decade earlier called Star Trek.
Of course, which then turned around and came out in 77 again, with Star Trek The Motionless Picture. So, but again, you had that same overall arcing aesthetic and story type, except for Star Trek The Motionless Picture, which was a 2+ hour dirge.
Dum, da, 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 da.
Okay. Seriously. Yeah, just a note. I'm sorry. Just a note on Star Trek The Motionless Picture. Much like the Green Lantern was digital Bukkake, Star Trek The Motionless Picture was Enterprise model Bukkake.
Except that you can actually look at that and not want to puke. But oh well.
Yeah. And it wasn't Ryan Reynolds playing Ryan Reynolds. But I digress. Back to Space 1999. There is some movement to not reboot or reimagine the series. It's actually going to be like a continuation of sorts. And it's called Space 2099. Of course, since we've already passed 1999, it doesn't make sense. It's like, you know, it's like the line from Fry, you know, that Fry comes up with in Where No Fan Has Gone Before. It's like, I came as soon as I heard what happened 700 years ago. Yeah, it's like, okay. But still, yeah, again, hopefully it'll be a good series. You know, there'll be some nods to the original, the Eagle, and such like that. I used to actually have that toy as a kid, so it was pretty cool. You know,
I hadn't heard about this damn show till you brought it up. I think I might have seen the name, but it's like, meh, okay.
Yeah, it's not something you go out of your way to watch, but it's definitely, if you get a chance, check it out.
Yeah, I checked Netflix for that too. I think the only thing you can get on Netflix right now is Firefly and maybe Buffy. But and you can't get my last pick, which actually I decided to go in the animation direction. And bringing it full circle from where we were at the beginning in the news talking about the Superman-Batman movie, I bring us back to Warner's best and most successful of animated series, which is Batman, the animated series. This one ran from 1992 to 1995. I remember watching this because we were busy graduating high school, but... still, I had to watch this.
I haven't watched it. I mean, I understand that that Kevin Conrad played
Kevin Conroy voiced Batman. He went on to voice Batman in so many things. If you hear his voice, you will recognize it as Batman. That's how big it is. Mark Hamill.
That's what I was saying. Mark Hamill came as the Joker. So
one of the most awesome of awesome. Interesting side note. Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. voices Alfred in this show. Interesting side note. I'm trying to think if he was. I think actually, was it him or her father? It was in Babylon 5. Complete side note. I just want to find out. Hold on a second. Never mind. But yeah. Batman the Animated Series basically set an entire style, spawned a feature-length film, Mask of the Phantasm, which actually ended up in theaters because it was awesome. It led to spin-offs, led to Superman getting his own show in a similarly drawn style, the Justice League and Justice League Unlimited series, and pretty much defined the look of Batman because it came out after the first couple Batman movies with Michael Keaton, and unfortunately then there was the Val Kilmer joke and the Clooney disaster, and this was what we had for Batman, and Kevin Conroy nailed it. I mean, you hear him, you will know Batman, you will see it, and it's like the awesomest of awesome. Also not available on Netflix at the moment, but if you find this series, watch it, have your kids watch it, have your parents watch it, have everybody in the world watch this, and hope that Affleck can come up to one gazillionth of this so that we don't have to shoot ourselves in 2015 when they finally get the Superman, Batman, Zack Snyder sequel to the Superman movie that was really dark and sad and depressing and made Superman a murdering son of a bitch. Oh, did I say that out loud? Okay.
Well, that's about all the time we have this episode. Lord knows we've taken enough of your life.
Not really.
This has been 3x2. I'm Laz D, the Pseudo Kiwi.
And I am the illustrious Patrick M.
Be sure to follow us on Twitter at 3x2 Studios. At our website, 3x2cast.com. And yes, we're still posting to that Facebook fan page. Isn't it amazing?
Yeah, why don't we just get a MySpace page at this rate? That would be better.
I want a GeoCities page.
Whatever. We're out.
This podcast is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 International License.